Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. As millions of ballots are reviewed in the tightest Mexican presidential race ever, an olive branch of sorts is being offered by the conservative candidate. Felipe Calderon says he believes he is the winner, but he also says he's willing to include the leftist candidate in his cabinet. Calderon not saying exactly what post that might be, and he doubts that Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador would accept, saying the two have not talked since the election. Still, he says he believes they could join forces, but Lopez Obrador isn't even ready to concede. His party says it wants every last ballot recounted. The preliminary vote count shows Calderon with a lead of just a single percentage point, 400,000 votes, but there are some 2.6 million votes not included in the preliminary count because of what officials call inconsistencies, including things like poor handwriting. The space shuttle astronauts spent their day using sensitive cameras checking the shuttle Discovery for signs of damage from the launch this week. Officials say they didn't find anything serious, but there is a white splotch near the right wing of the shuttle. The folks at NASA say they think it's a bird dropping. Imagery experts are trying to make sure the shuttle due to dock at the International Space Station tomorrow, delivering supplies and dropping off a European astronaut for a six-month stay. George Bush again says he wants a comprehensive immigration bill. During a quick visit to a donut store in Alexandria, Virginia, Bush said he still believes there needs to be a guest worker program. He said it would include background checks so that employers know the people they're hiring are not criminals. There have been reports Bush is now open to phasing in a guest worker program after the border has been declared secure, but White House spokesman Tony Snow said it isn't comprehensive to implement one part of the policy now and another aspect later. The Bush comments came as House and Senate committees held hearings on immigration policy. The House hearing focused on border security in California, the Senate Judiciary Committee in Philadelphia. Secretary of State Condi Rice says the global outrage at North Korea's missile tests make it clear it will have to change its behavior. Rice says the reaction makes it clear the issue is no longer a matter between the U.S. and North Korea. Condi Rice says the U.S. still believes the six-party talks with North Korea offer the best opportunity for resolving these nuclear issues. This is Air America Radio News.
assimilated into our country. They speak English. It's one of the great things about America is we've helped newcomers assimilate.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Oh, we've got a hell of an echo on this. Let's get rid of the echo so Uncle Mike can do his program tonight, okay? Can we get rid of the echo? All right, we'll try to do the show. No, this is not going to work. We're going to have some help from... There we go. We got rid of the echo. That was easy. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. It's about 7 past the hour. Thanks to Laura Flanders, and I mean that, for filling in for me all last week. I checked my email when we got back from our trip, and nothing but positive comments about the way Laura handled the program. A couple of people said, when are they going to replace you with her? I don't know. Maybe next week. You never know in this business, right? We are off the air for 10 days, and what happens? Let me see. The Supreme Court decided it was okay to for Republicans to gerrymander districts anytime they want to and steal elections. That's okay. The explosion of violence in the Gaza. New Jersey, I understand, now is basically shut down. The U.S. Congress continues to do real important work for the American people, like taking on the crucial and timely issue of flag burning. There's a fresh round of bombs in Afghanistan. Limbaugh and the space shuttle failed to launch. I guess the space shuttle finally did get off. I wonder if Limbaugh did. North Korea got launched. Bush had a birthday bash and forgot about everything else, including the death of former best buddy Kenny Boy. We'll talk about that a little bit later tonight, too. The Limbaugh case, I was just surprised about this. I'm not going to dwell on this, but he apparently was decided today that he will not face criminal charges in Palm Beach County after the authorities there found he had a bottle of Viagra. Well, wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? How old is this guy? 55? And he's doing Viagra? Whew. He had a bottle of Viagra that was prescribed in his drug counselor's name. Huh? That's the part I like. Limbaugh's psychologist and addiction counselor, somebody named Steve Strumwasser, had the prescription written to him by Limbaugh's cardiologist? What the hell's wrong with this man? Limbaugh's cardiologist is named Dr. Stephen Schnurr. These aren't real people. Stephen Schnurr and Steve Strumwasser. Anyway, Schnurr wrote the prescription to Strumwasser. Strumwasser then provided the Viagra to Limbaugh. I get that there's something about that, isn't there? The Limbaugh psychologist and addiction counselor. Jesus. Limbaugh's criminal defense attorney, Roy Black, has said the prescription was written in Limbaugh's doctor's name for, quote, privacy purposes. Close quote. Well, guess what? Guess what? And I like the way the Palm Beach, is this the Palm Beach Post reports it this way? The conservative radio host was released without being charged after 3 hours of being detained at the Palm Beach International Airport on June 26. Investigators confiscated the Viagra, which treats erectile dysfunction! But Limbaugh can't get it up. Oh, my. No surprise there. The Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office said it had forwarded the matter to the Department of Health to determine whether the doctors breached ethics. Well, when you're dealing with somebody who earns, quote, $25 million a year, and you're his drug counselor, what, ethics? Please. And, of course, Limbaugh being Limbaugh joked on his radio show about the Viagra case. He chuckled, quote, I had a great time in the Dominican Republic. Wish I could tell you about it, end quote. I wonder if his Christian conservative listeners picked up on that. What's he saying? Had a great time in Dominican Republic. Wish I'd tell you about it. I was getting it on with boy whores, girl whores, animal whores, 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 whores. That's why I needed the Viagra. I went to the Dominican Republic. That's where people go when they want to make it with whores. And I had a great time. Wish I could tell you about it. Hey, all you Christian conservatives, that's your boy Limbaugh talking about fornicating. Isn't there something in Leviticus that fornicators should be executed? I think there is. Either Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy or Judges or Genesis or...
You know, you would think if you had all the money in the universe like Limbaugh does that you could find a classier place to go get you some than the Dominican Republic.
You got something against the Dominican Republic?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, if you're a stratospheric millionaire like he is.
But it's right next door to Haiti, matter of fact. The people in Haiti are so poor, and they slip across the border, and the sex tourist trade can take advantage and get some, you know, fairly cheaply. It was a disgusting story when we heard about it. And it's still a disgusting story, and I frankly think Limbaugh is an erectile dysfunction pig. I really do.
Well, he needs to stop taking travel tips from Tom DeLay.
That's true. Ken Lay. I want to see a show of hands. How many of you think... There's three possibilities here. A, that Ken Lay had a heart attack the other night and is dead. B, Ken Lay was murdered by members of the Bush crime family. You don't think so? Remember CIA Director William Casey, who was in the hospital? They went to the hospital like 24 hours before he was supposed to testify about the Iran-Contra deal and his role in convincing Iran to hold the hostages until Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush were elected president and CEO of the United States. Remember that? And Casey was going to testify before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence about all the stuff that went on, and all of a sudden he died of a brain aneurysm. And what about the guy, the Enron guy, what was his name, Cliff Baxter? Remember Cliff Baxter, who was found shot dead in his car on a street in Houston? He was about to testify in the Enron case, and he was found shot dead in his car. It was a suicide. He shot himself twice in the back of the head. You remember that, the suicide? you do remember that, right? So I'd like to get a show of hands of how many people think that Ken Lay really is A, gone, or B, that he really died of natural causes. I have no prohibition about speaking ill of the dead. As a matter of fact, I think it's great fun to speak ill of the dead, even though there's some kind of sort of a biblical prohibition or philosophical prohibition against it. I say to hell with that. You know, if somebody's a scum-sucking bastard like, I said I wasn't going to say the word bastard anymore. If somebody's a scum-sucking thief, on the order of Ken Lay, and he croaks, is the world better off? I understand. You know, he had people that loved him, I'm sure. But you know what? I just wonder. Ken Lay made a big deal about his Christianity. His father was an itinerant Baptist preacher. And Ken Lay made a big deal about his religiosity. And when we come back after this break, we're going to play for a little bit of a tape that from what he said after he was convicted and was facing probably the rest of his life in prison. And Ken stood out there in front of the cameras, and he made a comment. We're going to play it for you when we come back. And I maintain it puts the Christians of the ilk as Ken Lay in one hell of a dilemma. We'll talk about it in a second. Stay with us. Hey, it's good to be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Load of those things ain't been the same. sounds like a blue moon in your eyes.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
After the report was put out, Enron went broke. And if they came to this administration looking for help, they didn't find any.
You're right. Yeah.
Frodo, I just need to tell you. Listen, come here. It's business. It's nothing personal. All right?
I don't know. Rob Call, writing at opednews.com, says today, call me paranoid. If I were as rich as Ken Lay, I'd arrange to appear to have died, so my friend George Bush would have to pardon me. He could tell Gonzalez to ease off on the investigation of the death and follow it with a quick cremation. If I were Ken Lay, I'd wait until a big news day like today with the mainstream media going nuts, covering the firecrackers trumped up to be missiles that the Koreans unsuccessfully fired. If I were Ken Lay! Rob Call says, call me paranoid. If the body is quickly cremated or whisked away, if they don't do an extremely thorough autopsy, then my little walk into fantasyland will take one more, will take on more meaning, more reality. Yeah, well. And John emailed, said, hi, my Ken Lay is alive and avoiding sentencing and incarceration. How easy is it for a gazillionaire to fake his own death and be smuggled out of the country? He'd have received a shorter sentence if he'd squealed on his favorite politician. Slay's, quote, death, close quote, is a win-win for everybody. But Jeffrey Skilling, let's see what kind of heart attack Skilling will soon have. God. Yeah. You know, when you think about crime family, it is so obviously a crime family. I like the way they aced or iced or put a cap, a big cap, in Bill Casey, the director of the CIA. George Herbert Walker Bush had him iced when he was about to testify before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence during the Iran-Contra, after the Iran-Contra debacle and the rigging of that election. Now, they didn't have Diebold machines, and what they did have was an open channel to Iran, George Herbert Walker Bush, and the message was very clear. Look, we've done business with you people. We'll do business again. Hold the hostages until after Ronald Reagan takes the oath of office. Don't release them. Don't, you know. And, of course, William Casey had all the information and was about to testify, and they murdered him. And then there was the Enron exec. I mean, there's certainly more than this. I'm just using a couple here as reference. Cliff Baxter, who committed suicide by shooting himself twice in the back of the head, in his car. He was an Enron executive that was found dead in Houston. You remember that? You remember that a couple of years ago when the story broke. And now Ken Lay. All right, we got something for you here, Ken Lay. This was right after his conviction, before the sentencing. See, his sentencing wasn't going to be till this fall. And what happens in the interim period, after you're convicted, and the court allows you to stew for a while and realize, holy Christ, I'm going to be serving the rest of my life. Ken Lay was 64. And in perfect health. You're not a gazillionaire and don't get those executive checkups every 6 months or every year. Come on, stop it. Stop. Let's stop pretending an heart attack. So he had a lot of stress. I've got stress. You've got stress. God. Perfect health. It'd be like Bush having a heart attack. Oh. So Ken Lay has a heart attack while he's, where is he? He's out where it takes 2 hours to get him to a hospital. Obviously. Why not? You know, you gotta make the story work. Heart attack. Okay. That's the official story. But there's another aspect to this. Now listen what Ken Lay said after his conviction, prior to, you know, the sentencing hasn't happened yet, but he went out and addressed what he refers to as the audience. This is May 25th.
I'm going to make a very brief comment, obviously the other times later. Certainly we're surprised, I think probably more appropriately to say we're shocked. Certainly this was not the outcome we expected. I firmly believe I'm innocent of the charges against me, as I have said from day one. I still firmly believe that as of this day. But despite what happened today, I am still a very blessed man. I have on my left this beautiful lady that's my wife. I have a very warm and loving and Christian family that supports me, a lot of friends, including some out there in the audience right now. And most of all, we believe that God, in fact, is in control. And indeed, he does work all things for good for those who love the Lord. And we love our Lord, and ultimately, all of these things will work for good.
You're kidding me, right? Right? All right, now, keep that in mind. Hold on to that thought. That's what Ken Lay said. Now, Ken Lay, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Gonzalez-style Christians, there's a message in what Lay had to say, what you just heard him say. There's a deep message in there that I would think would scare the living daylights out of all these phony Christians that bounce around this country like so many head lice. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm Mike Malone, Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
A good news story from EliteGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
sometimes things aren't exactly black and white when it comes to accounting procedures.
And we had an accounting with Ken Lay the other night. Roger in Seattle writes, Mike, I agree that he committed suicide, most likely. The medical report said he had blocked arteries. But I'm not convinced this was not a mere cover for the suicide. Blocked arteries. Now think about this. Here's a guy who headed a corporation whose at one time whose cash flow, whose paper net worth was greater than probably all but maybe eight or nine nations on Earth. And we are to believe, I guess, that this guy did not have a physical that checked his arteries. Hell, when I had thyroid surgery, they took a look at my arteries to see if they were blocked. Remember that, Kathy? They had these... That's weird when you look at your carotids in there. But anyway, I'm sorry. I can't accept this. And that's awful. I'm very... It's sad that I have gotten to the point that when somebody dies... this way, immediately, it is assumed, I assume, that it was a hit. And I do. And I will assume it. Just like the other Enron exec who shot himself twice in the back of the head. I remember the William Casey thing. And the list goes on and on. Now here's the thing about Ken Lay's comments about essentially what he said was, you know, God is in control. God will work this out. What Ken was saying, you know, justice, I'm not looking for justice in this toy courtroom. I'm looking at God's justice. Hello? Well, if that's the truth, you see, for these people who believe in this really, really disturbed brand of Christianity, which is pretty much most of Christianity that's practiced in this country right now, it really is. Come on, let's be real. All these, you know, these Armageddonists and this lake of fire and scorpions and seven-headed whores rising up out of wherever, this and rapturing, this is really... psychotic stuff. This is the kind of stuff that if you go into your shrink, if you have one, and say, listen, I had a vision the other night, and describe, just describe the book of Revelation and say it was your vision, you'll be committed. You know, so much of Christianity is just, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sorry, I know a lot of you people get tired of hearing me say this, and that's too bad to switch stations if you don't like it. That's all I can tell you, because I don't buy into the con. I just don't. I refuse to. And it is a con. Christianity is practiced in this country for the most part. 90% of it is a con, and it's based on just ugly stuff. All right, so here's Ken Lay standing on the ramparts of that sort of Christianity. Now, if it's not the brand of Christianity you practice, well, fine, or that you believe in, fine. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Ken Lay brand of Christianity. You know, the what is it, Kathy? The greed Christianity. The Jabez, Book of Jabez Christianity, you know, like, hey, God, give me more. Hot damn, I want some more, God. I believe in the blood of Jesus. Yeah, give me more. That kind of sick, disgusting, degenerate Christianity, murderous Christianity. Well, for the Christians who believe, you know, kind of subscribe to that Christianity, man, you got an awakening today, didn't you, huh? Can you imagine, I would imagine, here George Bush, who says God talks to him, and George Bush has committed mass murder. George Bush is a global international terrorist. He is a global international killer. He and his family are responsible for probably, I would put him in the top 20 of historic mass killers. Now I'm referring to Genghis Khan, Adolf Hitler, Stalin, you know, just on and on and on. Those historical figures, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, whatever, Balboa, Cortez. So George is probably in the top 20 of those mass killers, which means, now I know this brand of Christianity says, here's what it says. You can be a sick, murderous human being like, oh, pick a name, Hitler. And you can be responsible directly and indirectly for the deaths of 50 million people on this globe in a decade, in 15 years. And if as you're drawing in your last breath, you know, you've doused your body in gasoline and you've set the match. The last thing is, oh, by the way, Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins? I accept your divinity and I come before you, Christ, in humility. Please wash away my sins in the blood, your blood of the Lamb. Boom, you're in heaven. That's it. You made it. But if you take a Jew like, let's pick a name, Jonas Salk, who's responsible for saving the lives of, pick a number, 50 million, 100 million people because of his development of the polio vaccine. Jonas Salk, according to these Christians, is burning in hell tonight because he was a Jew and didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal savior. You see how sick this religion is? It really is. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I mean, if I'm offending you, then you need to take a look at what you really believe in. But here's Ken Lay standing out there on the ramparts of this degenerate brand of fake Christianity, talking his pious garbage about how God will be the final arbiter. If that's true, Ken, how does it feel down there in hell? Because that's exactly where he is tonight, right? In this carefully constructed and murderously painful Christian hell. The kind of hell that apparently Jonas Salk is in, but that George Bush or Adolf Hitler or whomever, if they suck in that last breath with a prayer on their lips asking to be washed in the blood of Christ, they go to heaven. Oh, my God. So for the Ken Lay style Christians, which includes every single television evangelist, all of them, top to bottom, which includes every single member of the Southern Baptist Convention, every one of them, all of you, not just the people who run the Southern Baptist Convention, which is now the second largest Christian denomination in America, but every single adherent to the Southern Baptist Convention's list of lies and deceptions and horrors and terrors and scare-me's and so on and so forth. Because that's what Ken Lay was. You see, he subscribed to that Southern Baptist Convention brand of Christianity. Y'all ought to be shaking in your panties tonight. You really should. Because you know you're liars. You know you're cheaters. You know some of you are involved in murdering Jesus every chance you get by your word and your deed, just like Ken Lay did. Here's a guy, Ken Lay, who ruined thousands upon thousands of people because of his lies and his deceit and his greed, and he has the gall to stand there and talk about God. We'll oversee all this and God will make it right because he, Ken Lay, still believes he's innocent. You notice he didn't say, I am innocent. He said, I still believe I'm innocent. And to these fake Christians, that's their out. They can murder. They can rape. They can pillage, loot, burn, destroy. And it's a crapshoot. If they have 30 seconds, as they're sucking in that last, by the way, Jesus, forgive me, I'm coming to you, I swear to heaven. But Jonas Salk, he was a Jew. He's in hell. Uh-uh. Ain't buying it. So I just not to put too fine a point on it. If Ken Lay committed suicide, good for him. That's the honorable thing to do. That's what's done in Buddhist or Shinto societies. You know, when you screw up, especially if you screw up deliberately, and rip and rape and pillage and loot and burn and destroy and throw just hundreds of thousands of people into utter emotional and physical and financial chaos, then the proper thing to do is to kneel down on your sacred strip of cloth and plunge the dagger into your guts and lay there and die. That's the honorable thing to do while you're chanting the names of your ancestors as rapidly as you can. That's cool. If Ken Lay did not commit suicide, then shame on him. He should have. And Jeffrey Skilling should. And these people who commit these massive, massive crimes that cause other people to commit suicide. You see? So any mercy for dead Ken Lay? Not in my heart. Of course, I don't have to worry about that because I am a full-blown atheist. So I have no problem with saying, Ken Lay, the world is better off with you gone. However you left. Murder, suicide, heart attack, makes no difference. If you're really dead, the angels are celebrating. The angels you believed in. On the other hand, there is always the possibility, right? The Ken Lay is somewhere safely ensconced. They've already altered his face, and now they're working on his fingerprints. And eventually he'll find a nice place to live in some beautiful island in Indonesia. Possibly, every once in a while, he'll have a visitor who comes to that part of the world, maybe Rush Limbaugh, with another bottle of Viagra and a grin on his face.
I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll look for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. We have just a couple more items, and we've got some sound I want to play for you, and then we're going to take phone calls the rest of the evening, so stick around, okay? Ned Lamont, who is poised to remove Joe Lieberman from the Senate as a Democrat, have you been following that race in Connecticut? Lamont is going to whip his ass in the primary that's coming up. When is the primary in Connecticut? I'm not sure. But in the past few days, if you've been following this, you have seen that Lieberman has decided that if he is defeated, which he will be, if the machines are not rigged, and the Republicans may rig the machines, because Lieberman is like Zell Miller. You know, he is, whatever Bush says, Lieberman will jump up and down and clap his hands and say, yes, yes, kind of like John McCain. God, I hate that kind of Republican, don't you? Yeah, I know Lieberman is supposed to be a Democrat, but I hate that kind of Republican, the kind that Lieberman is. So Ned Lamont is going to beat him in the primary, and Lieberman has made it very clear when he does get defeated in the primary, he's going to run as an independent. Now, what will that do? Well, Lieberman still has fans in Connecticut. Not everybody thinks he's a turncoat Bush lover. So some of the Democrats will vote for Lieberman, some will vote for Lamont, and whoever the Republicans run will step in and win. That's a given. That's just the way it's going to come down. If Lieberman runs, he'll split the Democratic vote, and the Republican will win. And then he'll, you know, Bush will appoint him to some commission or something, because Joe hates to be unemployed. When he ran for on the Gore-Lieberman ticket, remember, he wouldn't give up his Senate seat. No. It's job security. No. I know we're not going to win, so I'm just going to hold on to my Senate seat. No. So I think this is why Lieberman's doing it. You know, Lieberman, like most of us, he doesn't want to be unemployed. But, you know, you'd think that Joe Lieberman could, my God, he's got experience now in the Senate. He could go to work on working for Bush, maybe get a Foreign Service appointment, maybe get on a commission, maybe be appointed. Who replaced Mineta? Wasn't he the token Democrat in the Bush crime family, a Secretary of Transportation? Has anyone been replaced? I don't think so. Well, Lieberman could get that job. But no, Lieberman is going to be a real snot, a real crybaby, and a sore loser. And he is kind of the dog in the manger thing. You know, if I can't be the Democratic senator from Connecticut, I'll make sure that the next senator from Connecticut is a Republican. I couldn't believe that. When I saw that, I thought, oh, for God's sake. All right, August 8th is the primary. I get from Rocky Mountain Mary here. That's the Connecticut primary, August 8th. Now, I also understand there is there's a debate tomorrow, Lieberman and Ned Lamont. It's going to be on C-SPAN 1, 2, 3, I don't know. Maybe MSNBC will carry it, don't know. But that would be worth watching. That would be worth watching. Ned Lamont, the progressive Democrat challenger to the Republican Democrat Joe Lieberman for the Senate Democratic nomination in Connecticut. But the Lieberman statement that he was going to run as an independent, it's just like, well, you little snot. You had every chance to be a good Democrat. Can you imagine What Gore would have had to put up with this guy? Oh, my God. All right. Last night, was it last night? I guess it was July 3rd. There was a clip of the CNN news report around July. Let's see. I'm getting confused, Kathy. This is July 5th. All right. So on July 4th, last night, there was a clip of the CNN news report about 9 o'clock of the North Korean missile test. Most of us were trying to watch the fireworks, so we probably missed it live. Do we got time for this? Yeah, let's go ahead. First, I want you to hear this and hear Bush's initial reaction today when we come back. First, CNN anchor Kitty Pilgrim, and then it goes to David Ensor.
The U.S. tonight is calling today's test, quote, a provocative act. Washington has been warning for weeks that North Korea was planning a long-range missile test, and the international community has warned North Korea against carrying out these tests. Well, U.S. intelligence officials continue tonight to piece together this fast-moving development from North Korea. And National Security Correspondent David Ensor is in Washington with the very latest from there. David?
Kitty, seldom have so many intelligence assets been pointed at one country and one series of launching pads as they are this evening. We're looking at six launches. Most of them were Scuds, which are small, short-range missiles. They can be lethal if they hit you, but they don't go that far. But there was a Nodong missile, which is a medium-range missile, and there was one Taepodong 2, which is a long-range missile, which, if everything was working right, could conceivably reach U.S. soil, certainly Alaska and possibly even part of the West Coast.
So that's how CNN reported it the other night. And where was George Bush? Well, he was at a early birthday party. Is that right, Kathy? He was at a birthday party and couldn't pull himself away. Today he made some comments. He was at a Dunkin' Donuts. Our fearless leader reacted to the North Korean missile test today at a Dunkin' Donuts where he was talking to six or seven immigrants about, the coffee. And it reminds me of that. I remember the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. And by the way, as David Ensor reported, there were two different missiles launched. Most of them were Scuds. There were actually seven, David. Scuds. But then there was a Nodong missile. That sounds like something Rush Limbaugh would be involved in trying to launch, doesn't it? A Nodong missile? I think so. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. A lawsuit aimed at protecting marine mammals is forcing a change of plans by the U.S. Navy. The military is saying it will rely on passive sonar during the Rim of the Pacific exercises, which start tomorrow. A federal judge in Hawaii stepped in with a temporary restraining order blocking the use of a high-intensity sonar. Environmentalists had accused the Pentagon of trying an end run around their lawsuit by granting the Navy a six-month exemption from the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act. The commander of the Third Fleet, Vice Admiral Barry Costello, says keeping the ships, helicopters, airplanes, and submarines from using the high-intensity sonar is going to compromise the realism of the exercise. Environmentalists allege that sonar has the potential to kill, injure, and disturb whales and other marine mammals. Two U.S. Marines have been sentenced to prison in southern Japan. A Japanese court official says they were convicted of robbing a cab driver on a base of about $43. The official says Lance Corporal Henry Morgan was given a three-year sentence. Lance Corporal Reginald Lowry got 2.5 years. Iraq's prime minister says he wants an independent Iraqi investigation, or at least a joint investigation, into the alleged rape and murder of an Iraqi girl by U.S. troops and the murders of three family members. A former soldier has now been charged. Four current soldiers are still under investigation. The prime minister visiting Kuwait called for a review of the policy that grants coalition troops immunity from Iraqi prosecution. He says crimes against Iraqi citizens are unacceptable. Italian prosecutors seeking the arrest of four more Americans, three of them CIA agents, in the investigation into the alleged kidnapping of an Egyptian cleric back in 2003. In a statement today, investigators also say two Italians have been arrested. That's a first for this investigation. In addition to the CIA agents, the fourth American worked at the U.S. Air Base at Aviano, where the Egyptian was allegedly taken after his abduction. The European Union says they'll keep trying to find a solution to the Mideast conflict, but they say the prospects for peace at this point look slim, they say because in light of the escalating violence. One EU official says the abduction of an Israeli soldier and the Israeli incursions into Gaza are a, quote, worrying escalation. This is Air America Radio News.
back, 7 past the hour. So CNN breaks the news the other night about those big firecrackers that were set off in Pyongyang, Gatong, by the North Koreans. Ooh, that's really scary stuff, isn't it? Huh? Oh, my God. Oh, well. It's more theater designed to convince us that, you know, we need to maintain the leadership that we have because, you know, the Koreans, the North Koreans. But anyway, after all the harsh talk that's been out there by Chuckle Nuts and the psychopath that manipulates things, Cheney, and poor old Condoleezza Rice, who today put on her best school marm role and stood out there lecturing. God, that woman irritates me. And, of course, Rumsfeld, who just wants as much death and blood as he can possibly see before he commits suicide. All of a sudden today, the attitude was entirely different, right? Which leads one to suspect that the best way to deal with the Bush crime family is to develop ICBMs or nuclear, actually have nuclear weapons like Iran. It's astonishing. Anyway, how does the leader of the free world respond to arguably one of the important, most important or fast-moving developments happening in the past 24 hours anyway? Does he stop his birthday bash? Does he lead the pretty fireworks display? No, 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 no. He might as well have been reading My Pet Goat again. America watched and waited for George W. Bush to say something about this very crucial event. Rah! The North Koreans are sending up rockets capable of reaching somewhere. Bush finally spoke to the White House press pool at an Alexandria, Virginia Dunkin' Donuts around 2 p.m. today. Now, what was on his mind? What did he have to say on this tense and crucial day for America, this day that may be a harbinger of just all sorts of horror about to rain down from North Korea on our West Coast cities or, God forbid, Hawaii? The world is waiting. Mr. Bush, please.
I'm strongly for a comprehensive immigration policy. We cannot kick people out who've been here for a while.
But Mr.
We need to make sure we help people assimilate. I met four people here who assimilated into our country.
North Korea.
They speak English. They understand the history of our country.
Mr. President.
They love the American flag as much as I love the American flag.
But the bomb.
One of the great things about America is we've helped newcomers assimilate.
North Korea.
And here's four folks that are living the American dream.
Mr. President.
I think it helps renew our soul. Our spirit to help people assimilate.
But missiles. Now let's put aside the unintended irony of Bush speaking about immigration at a Dunkin' Donuts. Isn't that owned by the Patel family in India? I mean, don't you have to be? I'm sure I'm not being a racist or nationalist here, but you do have to be Indian, Hindu to own a franchise, right? A Dunkin' Donuts franchise. So he goes there to talk about immigration. I love it. I love it. Whoever scripts and choreographs for him is just a master of irony. And it's obviously it's Karl Rove. And this is how Rove is a genius. And this is how Rove gets off. You know, Limbaugh uses Viagra. What Rove uses is this unintended irony, and he dumps it out there. He sends Chuckle Nuts to a Dunkin' Donuts to talk about assimilating immigrants. It's great. I love it. And Rove knows that there's only 9 of us in the entire country who's going to get it. You're one of them. And I'm one of them. Now, what's interesting here, he didn't even see fit to mention the North Korean missile launch. Guess he had a problem assimilating that information. That's his word of the day, assimilate. Maybe Rove was out getting his hairs cut and didn't have time to tell Raisin Brain what Raising Brain's position on the North Korean test should be. Or maybe he was too busy at his big birthday party and boom, boom, fireworks display last night to care about real fireworks. I don't know. Finally, presumably following his haircut or lube and flush, Robe gets back to the White House and tells Bush what to say about North Korea if asked by reporters at, for example, this photo op with the Georgian president, Saakashvili. Is that how you say it? Before taking questions, Bush thanked Saakashvili for the fantastic time he had in Georgia. I want you to count the times he says fantastic in the next 38 seconds. I think it was pretty fantastic, kind of like the fantastic missile tests.
What a fantastic visit I had to Georgia. Laura and I will never forget your hospitality.
North Korea?
We will never forget the food.
Missiles?
For which Georgia is quite famous.
North Korea.
We will never forget the one fantastic folk dancing we saw.
North missiles?
And then I'll never forget our visits in the speech to the Georgian people. Fantastic trip. It was made fantastic because my friend not only was a good host, but he is a man who shares the same values I share.
And I'll bet they're fantastic, right? You think he looked in Saakashvili's eyes and like he did Putin's? And now, actual comments about North Korea. Getting Bush to talk about the missile tests is harder than getting Limbaugh to talk about the Dominican Republic. A fantastic reporter says, Mr. President, on North Korea, how is it possible to punish a country that is one of the poorest and most isolated in the world? And secondly, had you been hoping for a stronger response from China? Now, listen to this answer, and you tell me, did they slip him a Valium before this meeting, or is he just hung over from his birthday bash last night?
Yesterday, as you know, they fired off a series of rockets.
Ho-hum.
The world had, particularly those of us in the six-party talks, had asked for that not to happen. It's a matter of good faith. The government made a different decision, and so it's their choice to make.
Yeah.
What these firing of the rockets have done is they've isolated themselves further.
Yeah.
And that's sad for the people of North Korea.
Yeah.
I am deeply concerned about the plight of the people of North Korea.
You know, it's too bad they don't have oil. Then they'd really be worthy of liberation from their dictator, huh? Huh, George? What did he say? What these firing of the rockets have done is they've isolated themselves further. Now, setting aside the absolute garbled syntax there, it's kind of the subtext is there in Bush's mind, you know, they were nothing like them real pretty rockets I saw last night. Chinese ought to teach them how to make those instead. Oh, my God. What is astonishing about his response, I mean, frankly, I don't think anybody should give a damn about his response. North Korea can be snuffed like pinching off a candle on a birthday cake, if it ever comes to that. And you know who do the snuffing? China. You know, China didn't want nuclear war. China doesn't want some half-wit creep with bad hair to their southwest. Shooting off rockets, you know. China says, whoa, wait a minute. Sit down, boy. As George Bush calls him Kim Jong the Second, sit down, boy. What you doing? You don't understand, do you? China about to become world leader, and you shooting rockets? Sit down. Sit down, I smash you. Oh, and if you're Chinese, I'm sorry. But that's what it sounds like to me, just like I sound like a dumbass if I try to say something in Chinese. So, you know, it all works out. But that's who will eventually smack this bad hair boy in the chops, is China. All Bush has to do is nothing. Pappy Bush. Isn't one of Pappy Bush's brothers the chairman of the China-U.S. Chamber of Commerce? Don't you know that that brother is going to go to whoever the leader is in China and say, can you squash that little bug over North Korea? And the Chinese will say, yeah, in good time. All he ever gets of them was a war, and a foreign enemy to deploy.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed a difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. Okay, a couple of quick emails here. Hardball is going to carry the debate. One of our regulars emails in. That'll be on MSNBC tomorrow. the debate between Ned Lamont and Joe Lieberman. Remember that debate between Lieberman and Cheney? My God, I thought they were going to just get naked and start rolling around on top of each other. That was unbelievable. thanks to, who sent this to me? Sand Pebble sent this to me. Dunkin' Donuts is owned by the Carlyle Group since December of 2005. My bad. It says, this is from the Washington Business Journal, a group of investors, including the Carlyle Group, will buy Dunkin' Brands, the parent company of Dunkin' Donuts, and Baskin-Robbins ice cream for $2.4 billion, according to published reports. The investors led by Bain Capital also include Thomas H. Lee Partners and the Carlyle Group. The three private equity firms are acquiring Dunkin' Brands. The Dunkin' Brands division also includes the Togo's restaurant chain. Yada, 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 yeah. It also says the Carlyle Group, with about $31 billion in assets under management, acquired Dr. Pepper and the 7-Up Bottling Group in 1998. Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, well, I don't drink any of those either. Bain, Boston-based Bain, is co-owner of Burger King and has a stake in Domino's Pizza. Thomas Lee Partners bought Snapple. I don't care about this. This email came in from Mr. Detached to Kathy. It says, hi, Kathy. I found it interesting that Mr. Chucklenuts was talking to immigrants at a Dunkin' Donuts, since his father's company, Carlyle Group, is either buying or has bought Dunkin' Donuts. And gee, would it not be easy to implement a nation psychotropic drug experiment on U.S. citizens using, quote, the coffee that runs America, end quote. I believe that this new slogan is only a couple of months old and arrived soon after Carlyle's announcement. Or maybe I'm just crazy. Would you like cream with your Agent Orange? Oh, my God. I'm so glad I stopped going to Dunkin' Donuts.
The coffee that runs America?
Yeah. Well, no, that's Starbucks.
Scary stuff. I'll tell you, they did that study on coffees, and it came out that Dunkin' Donuts had the lowest caffeine content.
The lowest or the highest?
Well, it said the lowest, but I'm telling you, every time I drink that stuff,
oh my God, it's
like
wired
on speed, or they're running a meth lab.
I know, and you've never done speed.
Exactly.
But I have, and I will flat guarantee you, you have two cups of Dunkin' Donuts, it's like doing a line of Coke. Back in the day, before we realized it was poison and will kill you. But, oh, my God, I hate Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It just, ew. And regarding my theory that Lieberman will split the Democratic vote, I got an email here from Democrat in Action 2004. It says, Lamont's theory is Lieberman will actually split the Republican vote, since all the Republicans love him so very much. Well, that would be nice, too. All right, last one from Chucklenuts today with the president of Georgia, Saakashvili, at the Oval Office. Another reporter tries to get a rational, cogent response out of Prince Valium on the North Korean issue. And we learn Bush's third word of the day. The first one was, what was it? What was the first word of the day? Assimilate. And the second word was fantastic. And the third word, you'll figure it out. The reporter says, quote, on the North Korean missiles, what have you learned about their intentions or their capabilities, and what threat level do you think they still possess, given that their intercontinental missiles failed?
I spoke with Secretary Rumsfeld yesterday. He called me right after the launch, and he said they had preliminary information that they were going to analyze about the trajectory of the larger rocket. The other five rockets that were fired, the Scuds, were pretty predictable. It's kind of a routine weapon that some of these nations have. they're still analyzing, trying to figure out the intention of the North Korean leader as to why he would have fired the rocket and what they were trying to learn from it. One thing we have learned is that the rocket didn't stay up very long and tumbled into the sea. So the first part of your question is we're still analyzing what the intentions were. We're trying to analyze the data.
Well, good luck with that, Mensa man. Hey, by the way, sir, have you found Osama bin Laden yet? No? Anybody got any coffee in here? Some no-dos? Eh? What do you say? They're still analyzing, trying to figure out the intention of the North Korean leader as to why he would have fired the rocket? Let me guess. To see if it works? Maybe that's why they did it.
Hit us too much. He said I knocked that Western accent with a Dixie touch. She was a risk on a logo way. He's what you call a swinging half breed, singing his cowgirl boogie in the strangest way.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Twenty-six before the hour. If you had your speakers really potted up there, you probably heard that. 26 before the hour. Listen, I want you to do something. Go to Bart Kopp's website right now, bartkopp.com. Bartkopp.com. It just happens to be one of the best political humor and commentary sites on the internet. I know a lot of you are familiar. Go to Bart Kopp and scroll about halfway down in today's rant, and there it is. Dateline Washington, D.C. Pentagon officials held a rapidly assembled press conference this morning to release photos of Ken Lay killed overnight in a bomb strike on his Houston, Texas mansion. And there's the photograph of the dead Ken Lay. It's right there, just like they did with Zakawi. Well, here's Ken Lay. There's the photograph. Go to bartkopp.com, scroll about halfway down, and you'll see the photograph. The soldier there is removing an old photograph of Ken and his wife and in happier times and replacing it with the Ken Lay photo killed overnight in a bomb strike on his Houston, Texas mansion. Bart Kopp, of course, is a genius. There aren't very many geniuses left. There are a few, and thank God they are all on the Internet. Bart Kopp happens to be one of them.
Mike Lukovich is another one. His little cartoons just keep floating around, and they're just spit coffee, Dunkin' Donuts, acid-laced coffee all over your screen funny.
They are funny.
That one where Limbaugh's at the customs agent flying in with his suitcase and his Hawaiian shirt holding out the bottle, and he says, Skittle?
I know. That's on one of the threads of Democratic Underground tonight.
Right? I just about lost it. The other one of my favorites is the one where Ann Coulter was the female alien from Alien.
Right.
You know, signing books that are book signing, and there's a little old woman standing there saying, make it out to Betty.
Right, while the alien monster is dripping goo all over the book.
Complete with her little black dress. It's hilarious.
I know. Mike Lukovich is a genius. Well, see, there's Mike Lukovich, there's Bart Kopp.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Very few others.
Yeah, yeah. There's a handful. There's some out there. They know who they are. Eric Bloomrich is a genius.
Greg Palast.
Well, I'm not talking about, you know, people that get real intense about it. Like, of course, Palast is about the journalists, but I'm talking about people who are extremely creative. Not that Greg Palast isn't creative, but you know what I'm saying.
You should quit now.
I know I should quit. But go to Bart Kopp and just scroll about halfway down today's rant. Take a look at that picture. Unbelievable. We better do some phone calls here. Okay, can we do some phone calls? Let's do it. Let's go to Reno, who's calling in from Southern California. Reno, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
How's it going, Mike?
It's going great, Reno.
How was your 4th of July?
It was explosive.
That's great. Awesome. I wanted to talk a little... I'm sorry?
No, I'm just kind of laughing.
Oh. I just want to talk a little about Ken Lay and a lot of things that you were saying there, because you brought up some really cool points, and you played some really funny Bush clips, which was awesome. You know, I do really think Ken Lay probably died of a heart attack, but I do think, like you said, it's very possible that maybe he committed suicide, or maybe, like you said, he's off somewhere getting a face job or something.
Or he was murdered. You know, the Bush crime family, they murder people. They have no hesitation in murdering people. It's just, you know, it's business. It's nothing personal.
Oh, yeah, totally. I can totally see that. And I understood what you were saying in his message, like he was saying at the end. And I understand what you mean about Christians and how they have to take another look at their religion, or at least these kinds of Christians, these Christians like Sean Hannity or Larry Elder claimed to be, and people like that. I believe a lot of these guys are misled by humans who read a book wrote by humans. That's not even really a book, more of a series of documents that was put together by a committee. And I think they're really being misled by it. And I think that these right-wing talking heads on the radio can really spin that to their advantage. And that's what's really scary.
Well, yeah. These right-wing talking heads you're talking about, they have. I don't think any of them really believe in heaven or hell.
Oh, yeah.
And which is actually to their credit. But if they do believe it, if they do believe this tripe that they put out, you know, Sean Hannity saying he's a Christian is like me saying I'm a Republican. it's, you know, I know Sean. I know Sean from Atlanta. And he's about as much of a Christian, well, like I said, as I'm a Republican. But anyway, that's his game. That's his scam. And he said, this is America. You can run your scam as long as you want to until you finally commit suicide or have a heart attack, and then it's over. So,
yeah,
but as far as the kind of Christianity that Ken Lay practiced, can you imagine what it must have been that it's okay to lie, cheat, steal, sneak, defraud, just be an evil, evil bastard who just does everything that, according to what we can gather, Jesus preached against. And Ken Lay can do all that stuff that Jesus said, no, look, don't do this, okay? I mean, really, be cool, don't do this. And Ken Lay can do all that stuff and still claim to be a Christian. Oh, gag me with a Bible. Oh, my God, this guy just makes me sick. Well, he doesn't make me sick anymore. He's dead. But you know what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's it's really weird, you know. If this Christianity of theirs is real, then their heaven must be like what we would imagine hell to be. There's tons of evil people up there.
Well, yeah, I would think.
I mean, by that logic, I would guess so. But anyway, I wanted to move on. I also thought you were kind of right there. In Shinto, they like, you know, they'll kill themselves if they find that they are dishonored. I think that's honorable. But I also commend the guy that actually does go to prison and the guy that does get out and is reformed.
Yeah. Okay. No, I do too. But how does someone reform who has ripped off billions, if not hundreds of billions of dollars, sent families and retirees and employees and investors into an absolute tailspin, caused other people to become so despondent because they thought they had a stock portfolio worth, $200,000, and they find out they have a stock portfolio worth about 89 cents. Maybe it's payback for believing in the capitalist system to begin with. I don't know for these retirees and pensioners, but there's something in it that stinks. How do you reform from that? Ken Lay was not going to have a chance to go to prison, learn his lesson, and come out and be a reformer. Had he been sentenced using federal guidelines, he would have been in prison for the rest of his unnatural life. So now, lesser crimes, so-called, and so many crimes, and as far as I'm concerned, the things that people get locked up for are not really crimes that warrant imprisonment or incarceration, which is another whole topic. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right. Well, listen, Reno, I got to move on. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. You have a nice evening. I appreciate your comments. John is calling from Las Vegas. John, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike, this is the president of the Mike Malloy Fan Club.
Oh, the piano tuner.
Did you hear my song?
Which one?
There Ain't No Relief from this Commander-in-Chief.
Yes. Yes.
Have you had a chance to listen?
No.
Well, I
will. I swear to God I will, John. It's just that I wish you could see where we have stacked up the books and CDs and stuff that have come in.
Right.
And you know, if we were like any other Air America radio employee, we would have a staff that could look through things and help us out. But we're not. You know,
well, can you do me one favor? Play it on Big GW's 60th birthday tomorrow.
I'll try. Kathy, do you know, now what's the name of it again?
It's called There Ain't No Relief from This Commander-in-Chief. I sang it, I did it in 2 hours. I've been recording all my life. I've got 6 CDs. I got a website, but I'm a piano tuner, too. And that's what you know me as.
Yeah.
But I wrote it. My dad, who's 87, over Father's Day.
Hey, wait a second. Hey, John, wait a second. Hold on a second. Hold on just a second.
What is that?
All right, now wait, John. Let me do something. You ready? See if we can. What's happening?
Did you find it?
All right. Well, go ahead. What about your dad?
Well, my dad's I've got him, by the way, listening to you regularly down in Arizona. He loves you. And I'm sure he'd love what you're saying about the Christianity today, too. He and I loved when you talk Christianity because we're both agnostic, atheist, whatever. I'm a born-again agnostic, whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
I know. But, that's probably what I am, although not really. I'm kind of a realist. Wait a minute. What's this? Hold on a second, John. Hold on.
Commander-in-Chief.
That's it.
He wants us all to be dirt poor. There ain't no relief from this Commander-in-Chief as he sends your sons and daughters off to fight his oily war. His oily war. Two rigged elections.
Hold on, John. We'll come back and finish up the conversation in a second. Just stay where you are.
Staying on vacation as Katrina hits. Reading my pet goat on 911. Oh, that's nice work you've done. There ain't no relief from this Commander-in-Chief. He wants us all to be dirt poor. There ain't no relief from all these corporate fees as they send your sons and daughters pollute your air and water and send your sons and daughters off to fight on their corporate wars.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
So let's say you go shopping, and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs, too. Well, you think, that would save you time. But then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I wish I knew the law that I could sign that would make people love one another.
Ten before the hour, so I get this email from Doug and Monique in Arkansas. Question, why are Democrats better in bed? Answer, you've never heard of getting a good piece of elephant, have you? All right, we were talking with John in Vegas, I think. John, you still there?
I'm still here, Mike, and still your president of the Mike Malloy Fan Club. I have not collected a due yet, so.
Well, that speaks volumes about the popularity of the fan club, right?
Well, that's my ongoing joke with you, but my follow-up song to There Ain't No Relief from This Commander-in-Chief is You Don't Have to Be a Lowlife Your Whole Life, Mr. President.
Well, send us that one.
I wrote that a long time ago, and all I got to do is just fill in Mr. President, and got it down. But I will say this one thing about Bush: he's easy to write lyrics about. I write mostly instrumentals, but with these neocons, it's easy to write lyrics.
I have to ask you when we played that, and we did play it a couple of weeks ago. Who plays bass on that?
Well, that's my producer, Steve Parrish. You're playing the second version. I sent you two. The second one had the lyric sheets.
Yeah.
And that's, I recorded that in 2 hours. I'm real proud to say I only sang it once, and that's all I needed to do because I was after attitude, and I pulled it off, I thought.
Well, I thought you did too. Tell your bass player, I think he got our attention.
Well, Steve Parrish, he's a Paul McCartney, a younger version. He plays everything, and I put down the guitar tracks. He put down the piano bass. We put down the real drum, and bada bing, bada boom. You get tired of that.
All right. Now, John, let me tell you, I could sit here and talk all night, but I just got an email from somebody that said ice pick time.
What does that mean?
Well, I keep an ice pick handy here.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason I called, but I bought a lot of things. I was about Ken Lay. I got so many things that I
know.
Just thought I'd bring the song up.
I know.
But put it on. I'd send it to Peter Wolby. I send it everywhere. I'm going to send it to hundreds and hundreds of places.
Do it.
And I want people to start singing it. I want that to be the new Give Peace a Chance of John Lennon. There Ain't No Relief from This Commander-in-Chief.
All right.
Anyway, I'll send you more later.
Do that, John. Good to hear from you, pal. Right. Take care, all right? All right. I don't know. I like people. This is a broad generalization, but I like people who are piano tuners. I'm sure there's some piano tuners who are, you know, probably real Nazis, but I haven't met any yet. I've met, I think, four piano, you know, assuming that that's meeting when you're talking to somebody over the phone. Like John, but I've met four piano tuners, and they...
Blind ones?
I met a blind one.
Now you've met a deaf one.
Is John deaf?
I was making a bad joke.
Oh. Oh, you're too fast for me tonight, Kathy. I've been off the job here for too many nights. But piano tuners seem to be, I don't know, just kind of cool. Maybe not. Maybe they're all mass murderers. I have no idea. Rex is calling from New Orleans. Rex, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, did your tuners use the tuning fork or the oscilloscope?
I know nothing.
Yeah, the old ones tend to use the tuning fork in their ears, and the young ones all use the oscilloscope.
But... You know, the first time someone came by and tuned a piano I had, they did use the tuning fork, come to think of it, yeah. And the other folks, I just don't remember.
Got a funny story for you about Southern Baptists from about 40 years ago.
Okay.
Religion. When I was going to school at LSU, I'm from Illinois, and I take the old Illinois Central down, the city of New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it was my sophomore year back in 64, whatever it was, and I was on a railroad car with about three people on it, and at Memphis, an entire railroad car full of Southern Baptist college students got on.
Uh-huh.
They'd been at some convention. They were headed back down to Jackson, Mississippi. Well, that's a four-hour drive. So there I was with a railroad car full of Southern Baptists and me. And I'm an atheist, too. by the way. So at any rate, I couldn't help but take them on. So it was me for 4 hours against a railroad car full of Southern Baptists. And the thing that really seemed to really drive them up the wall was when I said, yeah, but I said, you know, the little green and yellow insect guys over in the next galaxy over, I said, I wonder what their god, they think their god looks like. They just couldn't quite wrap their arms around that deal.
So it was a good trip from Memphis to New Orleans.
Yeah, well, they got off at Jackson, so uh-huh. I was all alone then after that, basically. But now, I imagine that's probably your idea of hell, 4 hours trapped in a railroad car full of Southern Baptists.
Yeah, it would have been. Of course, there was a time in my life back when I was single and footloose and fancy free that if I would have been in a railroad car full of Southern Baptists, some of them had to have been female. And I would have done my damnedest to get one or two of them into the club car and have a drink and, back then maybe smoke a cigarette, maybe do a little touchy-feely. There's nothing like a preacher's daughter, I'm telling you.
Oh, I ran into two of them from Shreveport in my college career. Trust me on that. I understand wherever you see.
Right.
But one other thing, too. There was, and help me on this, there was a pretty famous leftist intellectual who was a Jew and then later recanted and became an atheist for almost all of his life.
Yeah.
And at the end of his life, he converted to Catholicism.
Yeah.
And he said, I guess preparing for the journey, I don't know. But at any rate, he said that, and I caught him on C-SPAN one time, and he said something pretty interesting. He said, the reason they asked him why Catholicism, and he said, he couldn't conceive of converting to a religion that didn't have a concept of hell, because otherwise, what's the point of going to church on Sunday? You might as well be out taking a good walk, right?
That's right. Rex, I got to go. Thanks, Rex. Take care. I appreciate it. Behave yourself. Why are you looking at me funny, Kathy? Just because I said about the Baptist girls? That's no big deal.
I just wonder how many other little Malloys are running around that I don't know about.
No. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. President Bush is vowing to find a diplomatic solution while the world debates ways to deal with North Korea. The president warned Wednesday that North Korea has made itself more isolated by firing the missiles. Bush stressed that the world must continue to work hard to convince North Korea to give up its nuclear ambitions. U.S. negotiator Chris Hill said the missile tests have united the world against North Korea and vowed the country would not receive a better deal due to the launch. The United Nations Security Council is considering imposing sanctions on North Korea. An autopsy has found that Enron founder Ken Lay died of coronary artery disease. The 64-year-old Lay died at his vacation home near Aspen, Colorado, early Wednesday morning, only 6 weeks after he was convicted of fraud in one of the nation's worst business scandals. Forensic pathologist Dr. Rob Kurtzman said his postmortem showed Lay had severe coronary artery disease, and there was evidence he had a past heart attack. Because Lay's death happened prior to sentencing and appeals, his conviction will be voided, preventing federal authorities from seeking $43.5 million in restitution. Three people are under arrest on federal charges of stealing trade secrets from the Atlanta-based Coca-Cola company. The case began when Coke's rival Pepsi-Cola received a letter offering, quote, very detailed and confidential information. Pepsi notified Coca-Cola, which in turn notified federal authorities, who began a sting operation. Among the defendants charged is a high-ranking Coke executive who had access to the information stolen. Federal prosecutors arrested the three conspirators on the day they expected to collect $1.5 million for turning over confidential documents. New Jersey's government remains shut down, and the finger-pointing among lawmakers in Trenton continues. Glenn Schuck has that story.
An angry Governor Corzine scolded lawmakers during his five-minute address here at the State House, saying the unwillingness to show leadership led to actions like the Atlantic City Casino shutting down.
I don't think people stayed and did the work that's necessary to put a budget on my desk.
Republican Tom Kane Jr. says both sides of the aisle are to blame. Glenn Schuck, Trenton, New Jersey.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Phone number here is 866-303-2270 if you'd like to join in. Let's go back to the phone calls. Diane is calling from Boulder, Colorado. Diane, welcome to the program.
I'm not selling anything.
Well, that's good to know.
Except for the possibility that they took to homegrown talent and recruited the same man who made that lovely wet job of Hunter S. Thompson look like an accident.
So you think the same people that got Ken Lay got Hunter Thompson?
Consider this. They had one of those big hoo-ha get-togethers where people who rule the world came together over the weekend in Aspen with their hangers-on and factotums. That leaves a lot of seats available in their corporate jets to bring up anybody they wanted to.
That's true.
Any expert they wanted to. Maybe I've been reading too much James Ellroy. I spent the weekend reading the Cold 6000. I've been through the L.A. Quartet, and maybe I'm just so used to the terms of clip jobs and scrape jobs and people acting badly and having the most racist and sexist invective possible as jokes that I'm thinking, I used to really thought this was horrific, and I went through it anyway. I thought, no, this couldn't possibly happen in America. This man's just a hop-headed patty sniffer. But after the last 5 years, I'm thinking he's just sitting down, asking a few questions, hanging out with the boys who happen to run the world, and he's just taking down dictation. It's just so hard to understand that this was not the world we thought it was, but maybe it was that world all along. Maybe all the racist police captains who believed in hosing down people and cutting off their ears with whips just decided to kick back, take a few brewskis, tell their sons, just don't do it so much in public, and let things continue. They just decided to have the system exactly the way it was for the past 200 years, but on a slow burn.
That's kind of bleak. God, you're depressing me, and I didn't think I could be any more depressed.
I was happy today. I was singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead when I heard about Ken Lay.
Oh, my.
It was in both of our papers when saying, oh, they're saying it's a heart attack. Right. He has a key man policy, right? Freaking expensive. Enron paid for it. Do they recoup any of that upon his death? No. Do they recoup any of the delayed compensation that they had that probably will go to the estate now that he's deceased? No. Will anyone take any look at insurance arrangements to find out why a man had all those arteries occluded and did not seek treatment?
You're right, or didn't know about it.
Oh, didn't know about it. My Aunt Fanny.
Right.
Men like him get lipid panels the way I breathe.
That's very true.
It's too difficult to assume that he was so careless with his health when he has how many lawyers he's supporting? How many?
Oh, I know. That's why when we heard the story today, was it just today that we heard the story?
He died Wednesday morning.
That's right. When we first heard this, it was like, a heart attack? Oh, please.
It was probably at the same time that Pete Bondurant in my novel, he had a heart attack after he decided to kill JFK and was coming back and forth, shipping heroin back from Vietnam to the Negroes in Las Vegas. I'm thinking, maybe God heard my prayer. No, because people are still bereft. They still have no recourse to losing their pensions. They still have no way of having their lives put back together after all the damage he did. I'm thinking of California. I'm thinking of all those little twists who jived about Grandma Millie on video tape. Those people are not dead yet. God has a lot of work to do.
Right, there's still a lot of people still breathing that have to be
repented. They need to repent.
They need to be raptured is what they need.
No, they need to repent and give the money back before they repent.
Yeah.
Give the money back. This is a sign, all you idiots who thought you could get away with it in Enron, this is a sign. Give the money back.
Yeah,
it's not going to do you no good when you die. It's not going to do your kin any good when you have them pass on because they're going to be haunted by the nightmares you created. Give the money back.
I think you're right, Diane. Thanks for checking in.
You're welcome.
You have a nice evening. It's kind of what we were saying earlier. For the people who do believe in the Ken Lay brand of fake Christianity, God, be he Harry Thunderer or Cosmic Muffin, is probably thoroughly pissed. And it's a clear warning. Remember what his boy said. His boy said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. These people like Jeff Skilling and Ken Lay and Fastow and it just goes on and on. The fake traders, like Diane was talking about, the ones that were giggling and hooting and laughing about the poor old ladies who were getting stripped and partisan liars. And these would be the same people who would do this 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. On Saturday, go play golf, and on Sunday, go to church and pretend like they were Christians. It's disgusting. If Ken Lay, have you got that thing handy? Ken Lay and the Heart Music again. Can you cue that up? Because I want to hear that again for the people who I want to hear it. But for the folks who didn't hear it the first time around, you got ready to go? Okay, this is from the press conference right after he was found guilty on all the charges.
I'm going to make a very brief comment, obviously be other times later. Certainly we're surprised. I think probably more appropriately to say we're shocked. Certainly this was not the outcome we expected. I firmly believe I'm innocent of the charges against me, as I have said from day one. I still firmly believe that as of this day. But despite what happened today, I am still a very blessed man.
Oh.
I have on my left this beautiful lady that's my wife. I have a very warm and loving and Christian family that supports me, a lot of friends, including some out there in the audience right now.
The audience?
And most of all, we believe that God, in fact, is in control.
Yeah.
And indeed, he does work all things for good for those who love the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we love our Lord, and ultimately,
amen,
all these things will work for good.
Amen. Here, give me that bag of snakes. Well, back to your phone calls. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
Hello there.
And thanks for the cards.
Oh, you did?
The birthday cards. Thank you very much, Marge. It was very thoughtful. I appreciate it.
You're entirely. You know, you go on vacation and the world goes to hell. I mean, first of all, Rush goes off to the Dominican. You know, I thought he was going to just go deaf from taking the first pills. Now he's going by himself, so with his little blue pills, he could go blind as well.
Right, you're absolutely right.
And they closed down the state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And now today the price of gasoline has gone up 15 cents a gallon. What are they going to do, line his coffin with gold and ship him off to Dubai for the funeral?
Probably, or else for to have his fingerprints altered.
You know, I was thinking in the good old days, they used to have the G-men or whoever line up at the mafia funerals to see who was going to attend.
Right, right.
That's going to be interesting to see who goes and you know, wears black and sheds tears for Kenny Boy.
Do you think either Bush or Cheney, both of whom have been very intimate in screwing the American public with Ken Lay, screwing over us for years. Do you think either Cheney or Bush will show up?
It'll be damn interesting to see. I mean, would they parade out their Christian piety and say, well, you know, he was a good Texan and like that? Did you hear the news at the top of your hour?
No, what did it say? Well, I'll tell you what, hold on a minute, hold on a minute.
Right.
Tell me when we come back, because we got to do a break here. We're talking with Marge in Indiana. Stick around. Quick break. We'll be back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Get right with God.
there I was gone.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
About 22 past the hour, we're talking with Marge from Indiana. Marge, where were we?
Well, I, you know, at the top of the hour, the news broadcast said something about the, let me think if I could remember the exact word, the conviction was voided so the civil suits couldn't go forth and it would safeguard his estate. Something to that effect.
Well, there is...
And I thought, geez, that didn't take long.
Yeah, there's an article in Thursday's New York Times that starts out by saying, in yet another bizarre twist to the Enron saga, the sudden death of Ken Lay on Wednesday may have spared his survivors financial ruin. Mr. Lay's death effectively voids the guilty verdict against him, temporarily thwarting the federal government's efforts to seize his remaining real estate and financial asset.
How does it void it? I don't understand that little maneuver.
Well, I don't either. I don't know.
Somebody have to, you know, apply for that? Or, you know, somebody, his lawyer would have to say, hey?
I guess it's voided because he hadn't been sentenced yet. He'd been found guilty, but he hadn't been sentenced. So this voids, I mean, who are they going to sentence now? They can't sentence Ken Lay. So what happens?
He
now?
Was convicted.
Well, he was convicted, but the sentencing, I think, I don't know because I'm certainly not an attorney, but especially.
What a crock of crap.
Well, it would have been nice to have seen something go back at least to the retirees who had been so ripped by Ken Lay and Skilling and Fastow and every time I see anything about Jeff Skilling, I think of poor old Tom Skilling at WGN in Chicago, who is his brother.
Yeah, he's just hanging his head. I'll tell you, every time this comes up, he goes away for a few days.
Yeah, he's the best TV weatherman in the history of TV weathermen. And
yeah.
I never knew Tom Skilling when I was in Chicago, but he seems like a nice, humble man. And to think that
so it would seem. You got an extra couple minutes? I got to tell you about Fantastic.
Okay, quickly.
These two old high school chums met on the street and they hadn't seen each other in years, and Mrs. Gottrocks is saying to her friend that how her husband had just been promoted to vice president of the bank, and that her oldest son had got a college scholarship, and the youngest daughter had done some recital and gotten acclaim, and with each pronouncement her friend was saying, fantastic, fantastic. And finally when she, ran out of stories to tell, she took a breath and she says, and what have you been doing? And she says, oh, I've been going to charm school. Oh, really? What did you learn? I learned how to say fantastic instead of BS every time I'm in the country.
All right, Marge. you are banned from the program for the next 3 weeks. That's a terrible joke.
Well...
No, I
wish you a happy birthday anyway.
Yeah, I know. No, you're not banned from the program. I learned to say fantastic instead of BS, right?
Yeah, well, I cleaned it up so you wouldn't cut me off.
Yes, thank you very much.
So,
all right, anything?
All right, yeah, find out what the deal is on that.
On what?
On the voided thing. I'm going to watch that.
I'll do it.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting, but, that's the law, Marge.
Well, yeah, if you write it yourself, I guess that's the law.
That's very true. Hey, listen, take care, dear heart.
You too.
All right, we'll talk again. Michael is calling from the Bronx in New York City. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Welcome back.
Doing fine, thank you.
Okay. Here I am just a month ago, I turned 39. And in the first month, I never knew that I can get so doggone pissed off at two individuals that really degrade the spirit of America, namely Ann Coulter and Representative Pete King. First of all, I'm waiting for the day for Ann Coulter to finally be arrested with the death threat she made against liberals and for the degrading remarks she made against 9/11 widows in that stupid book of hers. And then what the hell is this that Pete King wants the New York Times prosecuted for leaking, what he calls leaking information?
It's worse than that. There is a female talk show host, I think, on the West Coast. I don't know her name. I really don't care. But she suggested that I think Bill Keller, the managing editor of the New York Times, should be jailed and charged with treason. And if he were executed because of what the Times published, this female talk show host, whoever she is, would she would think that that would be the proper application of justice. This is what happens when you have a society.
But it's preposterous because
Hold on, Michael, hold on a second. We'll come back and finish this up after the break. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
We'll be right back.
need some wood?
About 25 before the hour, we're talking with Michael in the Bronx. All right, Michael, go ahead. Wrap it up for me.
You got it, man. Well, as I was saying about Representative Pete King, he calls it a breach of national security, while New York Times saying Americans have the right to know. I don't hear any concern of national security when they ousted CIA agent Valerie Plame, when Bush says about Osama bin Laden, I don't really don't spend much time thinking about him. I really don't care at this point where he's at. I mean, I've written all this in an article. It was published in a local newspaper, and I think I forwarded you a copy via email of that article. And, you know, and Dick Cheney, he's still a cold-hearted person. I mean, first of all, can anyone explain how he has a pacemaker when the guy has no heart? And don't get any idea of casting him as a Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz. I don't think it would be really cool seeing a nasty Tin Man telling a Scarecrow and Cowardly Lion to go F yourself, so to speak. And one other thing before I go. A couple of weeks ago, there was an incredible stench here in the Bronx as I was waiting for the bus while I was doing some shopping. And somebody said, oh, that's just the sewer system backed up from all the storms. And I thought, that was probably was Cheney breaking wind, long distance, brother.
All right, Michael. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. You take care. You people are kind of feisty tonight, aren't you? Huh? You know, earlier tonight I was mentioning geniuses on the internet, and there's a bunch, but I left one out who is a graphic designer. That's the only way I can describe him. He goes by the name Swamp Rat. Are you all familiar with his work, Swamp Rat? If you're not, you should be. Now, I also mentioned tonight this graphic at bartcop.com, the picture of Ken Lay after his body was discovered after the U.S. military bombed his house in Houston, Texas. And if you look at that graphic, you'll see a website, seedsofdoubt.com. If you're not familiar with Swamp Rat's work, he's an artist from New Orleans. If you're not familiar with Swamp Rat's work, go to seedsofdoubt.com. That's a good place to start. And scroll down a little bit. There's one there. What is it? Alien Succubus. There's a picture of Ann Coulter there that is... In the past year, I think I have become familiar with more... Of these absolute geniuses who are working on the internet, whether it's Bart Kopp or Eric Blumrich or Swamp Rat or whoever it is, and there's so many more. I'm leaving out. There'd be no way to mention all the geniuses. Now I'm not talking about the journalism geniuses. That's a whole different category. I'm talking about the other ones, the ones that are putting together flash videos and graphics and websites like Bart Kopp. Just some incredibly creative stuff going on out there that, you know, it wasn't so long ago. Oh, God, as Bart Kopp would say, I'm so old I remember. I'm so old I remember that when the only outlet that any of us had that felt the least bit of politically incorrect or satirical efforts. The only outlet we had were weekly alternative newspapers or maybe poster art or something like that. With the internet, my God, you can put something out there and just hundreds of thousands of people will see it within moments after you've posted it.
I thought you were going to start talking about stone tablets, so that's good.
No, I'm not that old.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabby. I appreciate that.
You haven't gotten any pretty little Christian girls pregnant this week.
Eh? Oh, will you stop? Oh, my God.
Just checking.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have a hard time living that one down, right? No, that's an old joke. It's an old joke. You go for the preacher's dote if you really want to get laid. Well, you know, when you're a kid, when you're a teenager. You know.
I guess that's what Limbaugh was doing.
I think so. Well, no, I think he was just doing anybody he could, provided he had his little blue pills. Are they blue pills? Anyway, so Swamp Rat is another one of the geniuses. He's a graphic artist, and if you're not familiar with his work, you should be. Check him out. You'll find him. All right, back to your phone calls. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Joe.
Yeah, happy 90th birthday, Mike.
Yeah, right. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, you remember me a little bit, though. I used to call your old program all the time.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I do. I remember Joe.
Yes. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
If I remember, you used to piss me off an awful lot, too, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I
haven't heard from you for a couple of years.
Well, I've tried to get on a few times, but...
And what happened?
Waiting.
Well, here you are, Joe. It's good to hear. Seriously, it's good to hear from you again, even though you can be irritating, but it's good to hear from you again.
Oh, I can irritate everybody from time to time.
I know.
Before I go on to talk about King Lay, can I bring up a really brilliant movie coming up?
Sure.
Yeah, it's called America from Freedom to Fascism, coming out on July the 28th, directed and produced by Aaron Russo. Used to be Bette Midler's manager and produced Trading Places and The Rose, and he was a great rock and roll promoter, and this is a great movie. It's not only informative, it's very, very funny. People should go see it.
Yeah, I've heard about that, and I can't wait till it comes out because I do want to go see it.
Oh, yeah, good for you. As far as Kenny Boy Lay, I mean, you know, I think like his dad used to call him a sunny boy because he's so bright and he's burning in hell right now.
No, Joe, there is no hell, okay? Come on.
Well, if there is, he's in it. I guarantee it. And the thing is, you know, there's another thing that stinks about this whole thing nobody's mentioned yet. What is this BS about? Okay, he gets, when did he get sentenced? He gets sentenced, and then they have this, what, 3-4 month lag period between, when he's supposed to get, when he gets convicted, excuse me, when he's supposed to get sentenced.
Right.
Something funny with that. They ought to change that.
Well, no. What happens here, you should know this, Joe. What happens is a pre-sentencing investigation where the court assigns not necessarily probation people, but investigators to come up with whatever information they can get on the now convicted person. And that pre-sentencing background check or information goes to the judge, and the judge makes a decision. Now, I don't know how much leeway judges have anymore where it concerns the federal sentencing guidelines on cases like this. I would assume that in white-collar crime, there's lots of leeway. It's when you rob when you steal from a 7-Eleven, there's no leeway at all. You immediately
That's what I'm talking about. Blue-collar crimes, right after you get sentenced, boom, the next second, you know, you're bent over and you're getting
in
prison.
I know.
That's what's going to happen to Ken Lay.
Well, as you pointed out, he's in this imaginary hell, and trust me, there is no hell, all right?
Yeah, well, who the hell knows if we're ever going to find out whether he got killed or not.
Well, that's true. Joe, it's good to hear from you
again.
That's right. Joe always used to hang up real quick, right? He never used to say thank you. I'd say, Joe, thanks, a click. That's what I like about Joe. He's here, then he's not here. That's great. Bill is calling from Allentown, PA. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going great, Bill. How are you?
All right. I called a couple months ago. I was going to talk about Kenny Boy, but I don't know. It's getting kind of old now. But I wanted to talk about what this country's still going through, you know, with George and his wonderful syntax.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves to play around with the language.
Well, I think the language is playing around with him.
If you ever learned anything.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. But anyway, I have a brother that was in the Marines, and he got in 2000. And when he got in, you know, he was kind of rah-rah after George was, you know, installed.
Yeah.
And then
chickens, monkey wrenches, doorknobs,
yes.
What? French toast.
Weeks before he got out.
Oh, weeks. That's the word you were. Hold on a second, Bill. Hey, Bill, hold on just a second. We got to do a break here. Stay there, Bill. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We got another 15 minutes to the show.
Stay there, Bill. Just stay where you are. And disregard Kathy's sarcasm.
We all know the importance of bondage between mother and child in the home.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and you need to get Greg Palast's new book, Armed Madhouse. The Baltimore Chronicle says no one's investigated the Bush Klan like Palast and lived to write about it. So pick up Armed Madhouse from Greg Palast, America's top investigative reporter and the funniest. With killer dispatches like Who's Afraid of Osama Wolf, The Scheme to Steal 2008, and No Child's Behind Left. Armed Madhouse, also available as an audiobook with guest readers like me. Armed Madhouse. Get it at gregpalast.com or your local bookstore.
A good news story from EliteGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed a difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at EliteGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
so me understood exactly how I feel.
Target things easier and move more quickly, which means we need to be lighter and quicker and more facile.
I've got 100,000 watts running through this mouth.
Yeah, got to be more facile. All right, where were we? Oh, Bill in Allentown. All right, Bill, you were talking about, I don't know, it wasn't completely coming through to me.
My brother.
Your brother, that's right.
Right, yeah. He just left the Marines. And what happened was when he first got in, he was rah-rah about George Bush and all that.
Right, right.
And a couple weeks before he left, he was telling me he was leaning very left, close to where I am, even more than, you know, more than I thought that he would.
Yeah.
Oh, and happy birthday, my
God. Okay, thanks. Is that it, Bill?
Well, I guess so. I just wanted to call and say hello again.
Okay, all right, Bill, thanks for checking in, man. I appreciate it. You take care, and my best to your brother. Haven is calling from Durham, North Carolina. Haven, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Sure.
I was just looking over this swamp rat, some of these images while I was on hold, and this is nice.
This swamp rat is the kind of insane that geniuses possess. I mean, his work is just out there. It's wonderful.
It's way out there.
The man is and he captures the essence of the people that he draws these caricatures of. He totally captures their essence.
Especially this Zell Miller.
Emerges
from his pod.
Well, I'm glad. Is this the first time you've seen Swamp Rat's art?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is.
It is so cool.
Let me see. I was calling because... And I hope this, you know, I was hoping this wasn't too far out of the way, but I was looking over the Wall Street Journal from June 23rd, and Louis Freeh, former director of the FBI, written an article about the 10-year anniversary of the Khobar Towers bombing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get any further than the second paragraph. Because what he said was, well, he was referring to the Americans who were killed over there in that bombing, and he said that they were risking their lives to enforce the no-fly zone over southern Iraq, and this was a UN-mandated mission after the 1991 Gulf War.
Right.
To stop Saddam Hussein.
Right.
But, you know, just, I thought that sounded inaccurate. So I just went ahead and looked over the UN's website, and there are, you know, there's dozens of references to the no-fly zone, and all of them point to that this was not only was it not UN mandated, but it seems that it was actually contrary to any UN.
Right. The fly zones were set up by the United States and the UK.
Right. That was my understanding too.
Right.
And
so this was an act of aggression against Iraq. In addition to after we had utterly defeated Saddam's so-called Republican Guard, that's a good name for you. It was an act of aggression against the people of Iraq. It had nothing to do with Saddam. It did nothing regarding bringing him down or taking him out of office. So, I understand what you're saying completely.
There's several quotes on here. This one, Kofi Annan was asked directly about it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one thing that he said. You know my position on this, and I've indicated that when you analyze and read the Security Council resolutions, I do not see the Security Council resolutions as a basis for that.
Right.
For the no-fly zone.
Right.
And so it just... you know, I was a little impressed with myself that I caught that.
Well,
and how is it that the Wall Street Journal just let that fly?
Because the Wall Street Journal editorial page is run by conservative right-wing neo-Nazis, and you have to be very careful. If you read the Wall Street Journal, read their news section. Their news section is good. Their editorial page is run by Nazis. I have to leave it there, Haven. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. Almost forgot to thank Vicki Hipple and our resident rock star, Air America, Jason Isaac, the two who engineered the program tonight. Thanks to both of you. D. Neal, who handled the phone calls tonight and provided us with very stimulating callers. I love you, D. Also, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. And thanks again to Laura Flanders, who filled in for me last week. We like I mentioned earlier in the program, if you missed it, we received an abundance of emails suggesting that Laura Flanders get my program and switch me to the weekends, which, you know, you never know. This is radio. Something like that might happen, right? This is Air America Radio, which means something like that has a good probability of happening. But anyway, thanks, Laura. I appreciate it. We're just about out of time. I would love to take another call, but I'm afraid, you know, I get you on and give you about 20 seconds to talk, and that just wouldn't be fair. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Radio.
And then God said,
"Let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it."
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.